The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, November 12, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, emerging nations are fearful that the world credit crunch will make it tougher to buy commodities. Also, China's economic engine is sputtering, and House leadership is calling on lawmakers to consider a bailout of the U.S. auto industry in a lame duck session. We'll have these and other stories, and Todd Gleason will be by with ideas to conserve energy. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 575.5, up 4.5. March, 590.25, up 5.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat, 533, up 9.75. March, 553.5, up 9.5. May, 568.25, up 9.5. July, 582.5, up 9.75. December corn, 369.5, down 4.75. March, 386.25, down 5.5. May, 398, down 5.75. July, 409, down 6. September, 419.5, down 6. December of 2009, 433, down 6 on the day. November beans, 885.25, down 22.75. January, 895, down 21. March, 905, down 19.5. May, 915.25, down 19. July, 923, down 19. August, 925, down 19. September, 921, down 20. November of 2009, 918.75, down 18.25. December soybean meal, 266.40, down 310. December soybean oil, 32.58, down 115. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a look at the outside markets, December crude oil at 56.10 is down 3.23, January 58.35 down 187. December ethanol settled today at 162.2 down 5 cents, January 162.6 down 4 tenths. December natural gas at 6.44 and it's down 30.1. January at 655.5 is down 29.6. Let's go out and look at some of the metals contracts. December silver at 948 is down 32.5 cents. Over on the gold pit, December, the settlement there, 718.30, and it was down $14.50 on the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 83.49 is down 3.44. The NASDAQ 1508 is down almost 72.5 points, while the S&P 500 is at 858, and it is down almost 41 points now. Looking at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in northwestern and west-central Illinois, cloudy with patches of drizzle and light fog. Elsewhere, cloudy with scattered showers and drizzle. Lows ranging from 36 in northwestern Illinois to 48 in far southern Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, and mild, with a few showers in Indiana early in the day and showers arriving in northwestern Illinois during the afternoon. Highs ranging from 50 in northwestern Illinois to 64 in the far south. Extended highlights, a cold front will approach tomorrow night and push through the two states on Friday, and that is expected to trigger more showers and thunderstorms. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Rather good afternoon to
Dave.
You. Are you there?
You bet. Hi, Dave.
There you are. Well, it's been a very interesting day because the outside markets have been fairly negative. The Dow Jones down 341. We've seen crude oil as low in the December contract as $56. We've seen the U.S. dollar rally as high today as 87.67. And I guess in all of that outside negativity, Paul, that corn was only down in the December harvest month by 4.75 is something of a victory.
You know, there's a old adage that the leverage scare first, and of course the hedge funds are leveraged, you know, three stocks to one, and then the commodity markets, they're big leveraged as well. Quarterly and end of the year, they're selling out corn, soybeans, stocks in a big way because they need to raise money in the fear that some of their fund holders will want to draw money out of their funds, and they sell anything they can get their hands on that's marketable. And, of course, this was the downfall that we saw today. They were big sellers in the stock market that we know they are very large short positions in wheat. We understand at one time there was a buy order of over 2,000 contracts of wheat, and that was one reason why wheat was up, I think, over 25 cents a bushel. We did see a rally in corn and soybeans based on that big buy order. The other thing is that the commentators, everybody seems to be a little depressed with the market action, a lot of people felt that the worst would be over by now, and there is talk about funding for the automobile industry bailout and other debt-related players in the marketplace. So the market still is worried, and we did see a sell-off today in the commodity business, I think based on outside markets more than the fundamentals in corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Yeah. And the technical action is not very pretty either. If you were to look, for example, at the December corn chart, corn tried. It really did. It got up above both its 10- and 20-day moving averages, but then it couldn't stand sustain itself. Actually, we're looking at a hook reversal lower today, and if you're a pure technician, this is not a good sign.
Well, you know, and it doesn't take much of a genius to look over, and corn usually follows crude oil, and the oil market's under the gun, too. We know that the Chinese have been big buyers of crude oil in the world market. We do anticipate the OPEC countries possibly restricting and reducing production again. And there is some congressional movement and talking in the farm industry basically increasing blended of ethanol from 10 up to 15 or 20%. There's an old adage in the livestock industry, you treat your healthiest calf first when they're sick. And, of course, the farm industry is pretty strong, and you could get things moving again pretty rapidly if you would give a shot in the arm to the ethanol industry. They're big players. They hire a lot of people, and the farmers do buy a lot of toys, combines, tractors, combines, pickups, and cars, and that would be and pay a lot of taxes as well. And that would be a one way to help repay some of those big margins of victory that the farm belt handed Obama.
Producers who are watching this action, Paul, and who have stored their grain in the bins are probably not feeling all that great right now because they're watching their investment sort of lose some of its value. Do you have any encouraging things to offer them that perhaps further down the line we'll see before the next harvest year we'll see $4 plus corn
again? There's about four things. You know, corn is extremely cheap. It's below the cost of production. That's A. And B, we probably will see a battle to even increase corn acreage. We know the corn acreage is going to be down in South America and bean acreage as well. The big factor in the in the Corn Belt, too, is that the easiest way to correct it is, of course, through industrial usage, and we are seeing that. And it was brought out on the Commodity Week panel that probably the world end users in the export market have withdrawn a little bit out of the marketplace because the ocean freight drop, and also they're using their own inventories before they try to replace anything in the U.S. market. But the U.S. market is the cheapest corn market in the world. There is some feed wheat that's hanging over the world, particularly in the Russian area. But we do have a lot of things going for us in the corn deal. Now, the corn that's put away in bins, there's always a chance to get loans. There's probably a crop insurance payment. And the person that probably is the strong holder and can hold on will probably reap the better price here. So be patient, and, we will possibly get over this panic rather quickly, because the political party in power will pour a lot of money into the ag and also the basic economy, as well as the automobile industry here, very quickly.
Meanwhile, soybeans have been holding up a little bit better than the corn, probably based on that, Paul, the demand has been pretty good. And at 205, as an ending stocks estimate, that's not exceedingly heavy.
No, and we did get a report today that the Chinese crop is probably 1 million tons overestimated. Mm-hmm. That's a big help. We also get the feeling that if fertilizer, we hear complaints about high-priced fertilizer, it's higher priced in Argentina and Brazil. And as a result of that, there's a good chance that we could see smaller production in Brazil. The arithmetic is pretty good, that demand is good in soybeans and soybean meal and soybean oil. And that's one of the bright spots. The problem with the market is the fund selling, and it's unrelenting, and that's what one of the reasons we saw the beans go down 20 cents today.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, countries in the developing world fear the credit crisis could severely constrain financing for the international commodities trade, jeopardizing a key growth driver at a time when export-dependent economies need it most. Industry watchers say it is unclear at this point how severe an impact the credit crunch will have on commodity trade finance, largely because of a lack of transparency from commercial banks. Today, the World Trade Organization is hosting a meeting with 8 private banks active in international trade finance to assess the situation and consider remedies. According to the WTO, the trade in commodities is equivalent to roughly 30% of all international trade. Signs of a slowdown in China are spreading. New data announced yesterday shows slowing imports, weakening home prices, and a drop in export orders. China's Customs Administration says merchandise exports rose 19.2% in October from a year earlier, down from a 21.5% increase in September, and from a 25.7% rise for all of 2007. Imports into China slowed even more sharply in October to 15.6% growth from 21.3% in September. That drove the trade surplus for October to a new monthly record of $35.24 billion compared with $29.37 billion in September. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on Congress to support a financial bailout for the troubled U.S. auto industry, which is suffering under the weight of poor sales, tight credit, and a sputtering economy. Lawmakers are expected to take up the issue when they return to the Capitol for a post-election session beginning next week. Pelosi says any assistance to the industry should include limits on executive compensation and rigorous government review authority, as well as other taxpayer protection. Executives with GM, Ford, and Chrysler, and the president of the United Auto Workers Union are pressing Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to provide an immediate $25 billion loan to keep the companies operating and a separate $25 billion to help cover the cost of future health care obligations for retirees and their dependents. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is giving an update today on the $700 billion bailout program for the U.S. financial system. Critics are complaining that the administration is not being tough enough on the banks who are receiving the assistance, that the original centerpiece of the program, government purchases of troubled assets, has been left to languish, and that homeowners struggling with mortgage foreclosures are not getting the help they need to stay in their homes. Growth Energy, a new coalition of ethanol producers and other agricultural groups, has launched an advertising campaign challenging the Grocery Manufacturers Association to explain why food prices continue to rise despite a dramatic drop in corn price and calling for a cut in food prices. The campaign comes as a counterpunch to GMA's attempt last summer to blame expanded ethanol production for spiking food prices. Growth Energy's ad campaign started with an ad placed in Roll Call magazine and will be followed by another in the New York Times. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
The experts at the University of Illinois are reminding homeowners that there are two ways to conserve energy: management and investment. Todd Gleason has more.
You can save money this winter on your home heating bill in a couple of different ways. University of Illinois Extension engineer Ted Funk says the adjustments fall into two categories: management and investment.
And the way I like to think of it is those two can be, you can work those together, but if, for instance, there are some small things that you can do in managing what you have. You've often heard about turning the thermostat down. The more you cut the inside temperature, you can cut your heating cost by a couple percent per degree that you turn everything down, turn the house thermostat down. So that's an example of management. And, of course, you can invest in a programmable thermostat so that you can turn the temperature down more when you leave the house. You can turn it down at night when you're asleep. Some people like to sleep in a cooler environment anyway, and then crank it back up when the family is active.
Another management example is calibrating the water heater. Funk says the dishwasher water temperature is the upper limit that should be considered.
You can, run water out of a hot water faucet and put a thermometer underneath it and check it. If you don't have a dishwasher, 120 degrees is probably plenty warm enough. But if you run your hot water heater at too high a setting, you're just losing through standby losses, especially if that water heater is sitting down in the garage or an unconditioned space. So that would be another example of managing what you have, and it doesn't really cost anything as far as out-of-pocket expense.
On the investment side, Funk says it's best to make sure the house is sufficiently insulated. For a large portion of the Midwest, he suggests attic insulation at the R38 level. That's about 12 inches of insulation. Sidewalls should be insulated, too. And for older homes, Funk says it's fairly inexpensive to top off the blown-in insulation that's likely settled already in the walls. Crawl spaces can be insulated as well. You must be careful here. If the crawl space is filled with water pipes, it's okay to insulate the outer walls, but not underneath the floorboards. You need the heat to keep the pipes from freezing. Whatever you do in the crawl space, though, Funk cautions it's necessary to have a vapor guard, a 6 mil plastic on the ground. Otherwise, there is a risk of moisture coming up out of the ground and creating an environment where molds and mildews can thrive. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with our cash grain analysis is Matt Kunisch of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
How's it going?
It is going well. We're hearing reports that there are ethanol plants in the Midwest that are experiencing uncomfortably tight supplies due to the recent slowdown in corn movement. Are you seeing any of that over at Clymers?
Clymers looking okay. Definitely notice it in the basis, though, coming from the eastern part of the state and the northern part of the state. Obviously, we have to pay a little bit more to keep it in our area. This week alone, we have increased a nickel in all bids across the board, basically, to keep it at Clymers, or else we will start to see that pinch. But currently, we are starting to fill up and probably will be full by the end of this week.
Well, that's good news, because overall you have a feeling that farmers are pretty much on, if they have on storage, they're tight holders right now, and they're probably storing it as well, you know, in their local elevators, looking for better prices down the road.
Yeah, right now definitely a big idea going through the country is the DP pricing and basis contract, which obviously you don't have against the Chicago Board of Trade. I was actually out north of here yesterday. Most guys starting to wrap it up. I'd, you know, estimate it in the 85-90% done range. Everybody has their bins chuck full and are bringing it in across the scale for cash sparingly, to say the least.
So what kind of price do you think that they'll be willing to part with? Are they looking for a $4 bill?
I believe so. I believe a lot of guys would be happy with that this year, with the input costs from last year, still being able to break even, along with the outstanding year that they had last year. In the future, a lot of guys just still have the $5 in their mouth, and it's hard to forget. A lot of guys are still wanting to get back there, but I think most guys would be happy around the $4 mark, yeah.
Are you seeing very much competition from anybody willing to ship it to the Illinois River?
Illinois River, yeah. I mean, we're definitely always in competition for that. Mm-hmm. Not as much right now. Really seems like the ethanol plants to the east and the north of us are really, really the competition out there, really pushing their bids for corn. It's just the way everything's been, the flow's been moving this harvest. It's in our areas, once it completed, once we started filling up, everything's just started gravitating to the north and to the east.
So is this basis battle then going to continue for the next couple of weeks or no?
Oh, I believe so. I believe it will go all the way into the new year. Even out in February, all the bids are continuing to increase right now. Everybody's realizing that there is going to be a fight for the corn to get it out of the bins, especially if the market does not turn around.
Your prices today then, sir?
Cash prices for today at Clymers are going to be $3.58 for October, November, December $3.65, January $3.69. New crop for next year is going to be at $3.98 right now.
Thank you very much, Matt.
No problem.
That's Matt Kunisch. And he is with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. There's been a settlement with one of the victims of a former Urbana grade school teacher who's now in prison for sexually abusing students. The family of one of John White's former students has settled claims against the Urbana School District for $300,000. A document with that figure was filed in court this morning by Champaign attorney Steve Amgen, who refused further comment. There was no lawsuit filed on behalf of this student, but the settlement must still go through the court since the girl is a minor. Several other lawsuits have been filed in Champaign and McLean counties on behalf of other students of White's. He's serving a 60-year prison sentence. A judge says he'll wait until later this month to decide whether to block the state from laying off employees at the Pontiac Correctional Facility. Livingston County Judge Robert Travers says he'll wait until November 21st to consider the union's request for a restraining order blocking the layoffs at Pontiac. Travers was due to consider the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees' request today. The Illinois Attorney General's office represents the Department of Corrections and asked for the delay. The department wants to close Pontiac to save money. Officials there don't want to lose the prison's 570 jobs, and they say the closure is political. A federal judge in Chicago has turned down a request for a new trial from convicted influence peddler Tony Rezko. Rezko was a major fundraiser for Governor Rod Blagojevich and for President-elect Obama. He was convicted in June of using his clout with the governor's office to launch a $7 million scheme to squeeze payoffs out of companies seeking businesses from the state. U.S. District Judge Amy St. Eve said today in a 34-page opinion that federal prosecutors had proven their case and she refused to throw out the verdicts. The governor's top economic advisor has been picked to head the Illinois Finance Authority. John Fineland will serve as the executive director of the authority, which offers financing for governments, businesses, and not-for-profits for economic expansion projects. And New York Times crossword puzzle editor Will Shortz plans to donate his collection of more than 20,000 puzzle books and magazines to Indiana University. Shortz is an IU graduate. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
The main question on, I'm sure, a lot of corn farmers' minds, especially those in the Western Corn Belt, is when will they be able to get into those fields and begin to get that corn out? And there's a lot of corn still out there in the Western Belt.
That's right. And the weather pattern is not real supportive of aggressive drying, but the focus of precipitation events for a little while is going to be on the northernmost and eastern portions of the Midwest, so that areas out there in Nebraska, parts of Iowa and Missouri will probably do relatively well with getting the fields to gradually dry down. Now, I fully understand the fact that just because we don't have any moisture necessarily falling across the region, that doesn't mean we can work the fields for a while. With the temperatures being cool, it's going to be a slow evaporation rate process, and so the drying trends are going to be a little on the sluggish side, so it will be a while before we see aggressive field work. But with the pattern being what it is, I think there is potential for some field work to advance slowly across some of those western areas. Now, you get up into the Dakotas and Minnesota, a little less likely because we are going to see some snowfall periodically across the region, and that is also where the coldest temperatures will be, and it is also wettest up in some of that region. So the bottom line is that field work will not likely move along very well in those areas. We will see some warming, but it's going to come rather late in the two-week period, and I'm just not real impressed. I think we're going to end up seeing some warmer weather, but it's going to come probably right before another large storm system. Right now, the earliest that I can get a big storm to occur in the Western Corn Belt will probably be the 21st through the 23rd. That's the best news, but when that storm system does come along, it will be a fairly juicy event.
And that should bring some significant snow?
It will, potentially. Now, of course, we're talking about something that's 10 days out in the forecast, so we have to be really careful here, especially today, because I think in the last 24 to 36 hours, I've seen about 6 or 8 different computer forecast models, and every one of them has had a little different solution. So confidence is low, but I think the general overall view of the harvest potential in the West is pretty good with what I said.
Turn your attention to South America, Argentina, net drying in line there?
That's right. Argentina, very typical for Argentina to have some dryness issues in a year in which a La Nina event is developing. Now, you're probably thinking, well, didn't we just have a La Nina?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we did. That La Nina event did break down in July and August, and we're in neutral inland conditions right now, but a new La Nina is supposed to develop as we go into the winter and spring seasons. And if that indeed does take shape, Argentina will continue to struggle with some of this dryness. Now, the country is not critically dry as of this moment in time, but they are definitely trending on the dry side of normal. There is some stress out there. A storm system is coming up here for Friday into Saturday, might generate enough rainfall to temporarily improve the situation. But I think if we step back and look at the big picture, we're still going to be struggling with dryness at times through the spring season, and that may eventually lead to a little bit of yield potential loss.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Hey, Dave, have a good day.
That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.